behalf of Holly Street Church of Christ, for those who are visiting, you are honored guests. Since Alan, who is the full-time preacher, is traveling to Africa and been gone for about 5 or 6 weeks, he is scheduled back, Lord will, next week, and he will be standing before us at that time. I have elected to not have any overhead slides. As you just found out, I am sometimes challenged with technology. I thought it would be a little distracting for me to have overhead. So we're gonna do old school. So if you have your Bibles, I will be asking you to turn to them. The subject I decided to speak on this morning deals with sacrifices. It has been said many times in several ways that any religion not worth sacrificing for is not worth having. And I believe that to be true. The best way that I can show that to you is through the Bible. In the Old Testament, we have the framework of sacrifices. But I must note to you, as I have read the Bible time and time again, there are some things that I am not sure why the Holy Spirit has put them in black and white for us to read. But that does not mean that it is wrong. It means that I am still to do a little more searching. And thankfully, we only have the one book that is good for the novice and those who are mature. I am still growing, and I am thankful that I can continue to search, and I hope that you also continue to search. God is the same of yesterday and the same today. We must note that sacrifices, they have purposes. Even those that was done in the Old Testament, it was done to bring man closer to God, to bring them near to God. And if we are serious today, we will know that we too need to bring sacrifices to God. The Jewish people, they had multiple sacrifices. They served at multiple purposes during different times of the year for different accommodations, depending again on the situation. It was not a one-size-fits-all sacrifice. It was done that they could provide the affordability if they were rich or poor. The sacrifice could be given. The tabernacle had a fire that represented God. It was always burning continuously. And one of the sacrifices that man would bring would be a burnt offering. If you have the book of Leviticus chapter 1, that deals with the burnt sacrifices. You will find out that it was a voluntary purpose to offer that burnt sacrifice. It was done twice a day by the order of God, in the morning and in the evening. That would entail bringing bulls, birds, any of the herd animals, depending on who you were again, of their first year, without blemish, without diseases. The priest also had to dress in a certain attire before the sacrifice. Once the sacrifice is given, once the ashes are taken, they would change their attire. Again, done multiple times a day, on the Sabbath, the new moon, the Jewish New Year, and so on. The purpose of the burnt sacrifice was for atonement of unintentional sins, the communion with God, devotion of the people giving that sacrifice. They also did a grain offering, Leviticus chapter 2 addresses that in part. This was not a voluntary thing, but the portion of that grain could be voluntary. This was not for worship service. This was for, in Leviticus 2:9, it shows the sweet aroma was from such sacrifice. You did not mix any honey or leaven with this offering. If it was the first fruit of the land, you will give the bread of grain, unleavened, fine flour, unleavened. It will be given oil, salt must be given if it was a grain offering, and there's also frankincense. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 3 and 10 says that this was the most holy of offerings to the Lord because it was done by fire. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 16, it notes the reason why. God was only concentrated for the priests. It was done before the Lord. And they were, as priests, the only ones that were allowed to eat, partake of it, and only in the tabernacle. That was also the drink offering that could have been poured out on the altar. But when the first fruit was not burned, it was not a sweet aroma. Verse 17 of chapter 2 and 16 of chapter 2, it notes that if it was a memorial part that was burned, yes, that would be a sweet sacrifice. But if it was roasted, it was not. The purpose of this offering, the grain offering, was for thanksgiving for unmerited blessings on the people or the person who was giving it. And the Jewish people realized that, and we too should realize where our blessings come from. There was also a peace offering. It included the wave offering, the thanksgiving offering, the vow offering, and the free will offering. This one was also a sweet aroma. It entailed the unblemished herd animal, be it a cow, bull, sheep, a lamb, or goat, unleavened bread, and unleavened grain. In Leviticus chapter 7, it notes that leavened bread could be used if it was for the thanksgiving. The breast of the beast would only go to the high priest, and the rest could be burned, and if it was offered to the people, they could eat it. The purpose of the thanksgiving offering is because of the thankfulness of the giver, and it was shared with others, but also, again, to give peace to God and thanks God. It was a sweet aroma again. There also was the sin offering. This one was unintentional sin against God. If it was the priest, the high priest, or the sin of the whole congregation, they had to offer a bull. If it was common folks, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 28, you will offer a goat. For those that are poor, they will offer a bird, a dove or a pigeon, and sometimes the fine unleavened flour. This too was the most holy, just as before, because the killing was before the Lord. Only the holy could eat it in the place in the court of the tabernacle. Special instructions were given depending on the person, depending on how the blood was handled. But the fatted portion, the liver, the kidneys, would burn to God. The rest could be eaten in the tabernacle, in the courtyard. The purpose, again, was an atonement for sin and being cleansed from impurities. This was not a sweet aroma. The last one I would like to speak to you about is the trespass offering. It was exclusively ram. Just like the sin offering, the priest could eat this in the court of the tabernacle. But they could keep the skin if they wanted to, and they would use this for their purposes, or they could sell it. There are also a grain offering that could be offered. The fat portion, being the liver and the kidney again in the fat, was going to be burned. The purpose again, the atonement for unintentional sin where reimbursement was needed to a victim. It was also used for the cleansing of a defiling sin or disorder, an infection or illness that you may have had. I must note to you of all of the offerings, and if you know the Old Testament, the head was never washed. It was always things below the head, be it the neck, be it the entrails, be it the intestines, the liver, the heart, that was washed. And we will bring that in to a further clearance in a few minutes. I must note to you, there's a lot of things in the Old Testament I have to question why the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. And this is one of them, the details of the sacrifices, maybe even the construction of the temple. But it all leads to Christ. There is a connection. So I would like to bring that to the forefront this morning. We spoke this morning of, in the Bible class, about Solomon. There was a time when the Jewish children did not obey God. But when they knew that they had sinned against God, they wanted to make it right. If you have your Bible and can turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63. This was the 7 day of dedication and 7 days of feast of the tabernacle. What I want you to see is the vast amount of blood that was offered to come back close to God. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63. This is after they realized they had sinned. Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered to the Lord. 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. And the king and all the people of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated in the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offering, grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offering, because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the fat of the peace offering. At the time, Solomon held a feast, and all of Israel with him, and a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath and to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God, 7 days and seven more days, being 14 days. So God wanted some of these sacrifices every day, some every week, some monthly and yearly, again, sometime for the celebration. Each had their own purpose. Nonetheless, all of these sacrifices, all these offerings, and even the law, as we know, they were just a dim, fuzzy trace of what was actually that was going to come to earth through the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus offered himself for the sacrifice of the world. Today, God has given us a better plan of salvation, which the fire of God to God, or our continuous prayers through his Son, Jesus Christ, not reserved for just the morning or the evening. Christ was that spotless sacrifice, and he has made the better and easier plan, than the Jewish people had. So why should we offer sacrifices? We offer it because we want to be near to God. You and I will be better people by sacrificing to Him. It produces fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Acts chapter 4:32. It strengthens our relationship. It is a proof of our love to each other and to God. That sincere love that is noted in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, and as noted in John 3:16. It is the only way that we can enjoy the eternal life by giving of ourselves in our most valuable, most choice of means. I want to make it known that I was one of those New Testament Christians who did not believe that it was necessary to understand, to study the Old Testament. But by doing so, I have found that I have really did no service for myself. It is a lesson for us to know what our forefathers have gone through. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave up of His love, and it also again produced the correction that is needed and instruction to live a better life. I could not understand again all that detail, but as I study more and more, it's become clearer and clearer. As Jesus is the head of the church again, of all the sacrifices, pure, unblemished, perfection, He didn't need to be washed. He's the head. We being the body, regardless of what part you want to be of the body, we are sinful. We need to be washed. We have to be washed to come to God. So I want to spend a few more minutes talking to you about what we can do to sacrifice. The best place that I think that we can start is start with our money. In order for a sacrifice, again, to be worth anything, it must cost something. In 2 Samuel verse 24, again, if you would turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 21, it shows that even David in the Old Testament realized that it was going to cost him something to sacrifice to the Lord Jehovah. 2 Samuel 24, 21, then Arauna said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you." And this I must note to you. David, before this, wanted to count the people of Israel against Jehovah's approval. When he was at the threshing floor, he was able to see the angel from God with his sword ready to kill. And only because of God relenting to stop the killing, this is what David is going to do as a thanksgiving. He was going to buy the threshing floor, going on to chapter 21, to buy the threshing floor from him, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now Arun said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look here, an oxen for the burnt sacrifice, and the threshing floor implements, and the yoke of the oxen for wood. All these, O king," Arun had given to the king. And Arun said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." Then the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer a burnt burnt sacrifices to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built an altar to the Lord and offered the burnt sacrifice and the priest offering. So the Lord heard his prayers of the land and the plague which was withheld from Israel. And any one of these, I must note to you, anyone has the religion again that cost him or her nothing is not worth anything. Nor would they respect the law of that religion because it cost them nothing. Had that gentleman, Arunah, offered that sacrifice, it would have been his sacrifice and not for the one who sinned, which was David. It wouldn't have cost David anything. Again, it was not acceptable to God. What will it cost? We have the widow who gave all she had from Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 41, it reads, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how many of the people put money into the treasury. And many who was rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrant. So he said, and so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, this poor woman has put in more than all of those in this who given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she put out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" Of abundance, that means they didn't need it. Do we do that? Do we give out our abundance? She gave everything out of her livelihood, everything she had to live on. She trusted in God to supply her wants and to devote her little property that she had entirely to Him. From this passage, we can see that God is pleased with her offering and the cause. One of the highest evidence of love to a church is not the amount that's given, but the amount compared to your own means, my own means. God does not despise the humblest of offering, if and only if it is given in sincerity. He loves a cheerful giver. So it is up to every man to inquire, not how much we give, but how much it is compared to what we have. How much self-denial do I practice for the good and the motive of promoting God and His work? We can see sacrifices. We can sacrifice our money, our time, and energy by offering less time on TVs, on playing sports, on neglecting the work of the church. I'm saying some, not all, of our time and money and energy. For we know a little exercise is good for the body. But spending time studying is good for the mind because it controls our attitude and our actions. We also need to make sure that our offering is acceptable to God. And what is the best way that we can do that is by offering ourselves. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1, he said, it is written, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." The metaphor is likened to that sacrifice of the Old Testament, when it is brought to the altar. The choices of the flock. What's more choicey than yourself? Presenting it for the atonement of your sin. In the spirit of the sacrifice that it is, no part of it that you give is devoted to anything else other than to God. God wants a living sacrifice opposed to a dead sacrifice. God cannot do anything with a dead sacrifice. So, whatever your hands find to do, do it mightily. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave. And that is Ecclesiastes 9:10. Again, a living sacrifice. You have to release all claims, all rights to yourself. In case of the animal sacrifice in the Old Testament, it was slain and the blood offered. In the case of any other offering, the first fruit, for example, it was set aside for the service of God. Who offers it and releases it must submit it to God. That includes the church collection. When we give money to the collection, it is laid at the apostles' feet as it was written for the work of the church. It is not for any potlucks, basketball goals, or anything of the such. In Romans 12:1, again, it notes that you must be holy. Again, referring to that sacrifice in the Old Testament, the best faculties being our mind, being our talent, being our time, must be acceptable. Again, acceptable to God, perfect in its kind, accepting and well-pleasing to Him, because He is the one that searches our heart. No sacrifice should be made in which it is not acceptable to Him, be it a pilgrim to Mecca, demanding your church flock to buy you a luxury plane, a luxury car, a luxury watch, putting a woman before the authority of a man, offering prayer beads, musical instruments, virtual worship services, days that you want to pick other than the first day of the week to give offerings, to partake of the Lord's Supper, that is not acceptable. So what we think matters little to none. To please God is our highest aim. And the only way we can do that is by obeying Him, sacrificing the way He wants it. The living sacrifice, again, must be acceptable. A paraphrase of sacrifices. The whole body, mind, soul, the thoughts, everything must be His, entirely His. For a reasonable service, what is reasonable? Reason means it causes you to mentally give thought to it. It is not something just for you to not contemplate. You have to consider it. And I'm not here to debate what is a worship versus what is a service. That's not what I'm here for. We, I can tell you, are not our own. We are properties of God. He created us. He redeemed us through His Son. For us to be disgraceful, to be dishonorable, is to disrespect Him. I see I'm running out of time, so I better skip over. We have to have faith. I am going to, for Cain and Abel. Abel offered a better, more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain could only, and Abel as well, know what was acceptable because God had provided them the instruction. It was not a guess. They knew how to worship God, and we must do the same. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we, again, can deduct that we also, like Cain and Abel, can rationalize. Without confidence in God, in his love, in his trust, in his wisdom and promises, we cannot sacrifice acceptable to him. It is impossible even for a child to be acceptable to his parents. It is impossible for a spouse to be acceptable to their spouse without confidence, without trust, without a strengthening of that relationship. The same is with God. If it never improves, it is not worth it. We have to obey his will and not our own. The faith that we have in God is not debatable. We have to believe in him and then the power and the glory to be given to him. For us to come to God, especially as worshipers, collectively as a congregation, or in our private devotion to him, we have to believe he is. Otherwise, why go to him? In prayer, in any time. So faith is the foundation of our trust. We lean not on our own understanding, nor do we put our faith in that of another person or in our own selves, but in the Lord with all our hearts. And that, with that being said, for those who want to be rewarded must diligently seek him. This is equal to that of believing in him. So we must believe and also diligently seek him. So sacrifice. Hebrews 13:10. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought in the sanctuary by high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continue offering sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we must be acceptable. So in concluding, we need to also study, be mindful of that. Let's make it personal. Let's sacrifice ourselves. Let's take up our cross daily. I know sacrifice takes time. It takes talent. It takes energy. It takes money. And it takes our lives. By doing so, we obtain the knowledge that is acceptable to God. There are many men here who have sacrificed, especially in the absence of our preacher, their time, their energy. There are men who have tended to the website. That's a sacrifice of their time again. So, as our devotion grows, be it through study of the hearing word, living the word, the greatest sacrifice will be to the Lord. We are to learn from those who were before us not to make the same mistakes, especially ignoring and being disobedient to God. God has provided us the instruction for all of us to be successful and to be with him. All of the Old Testament has been adapted and applied to express the Christian duty and the doctrine of the gospel. God has shown us example, provided the instructions again, even to all that of the Old Testament. We just have to search for the answer. Study again. They can now be in illustration and, I'm sorry, they can be useful now in illustration and reinforcing the gospel and the duty. The last Bible verse I'm going to quote would be Hosea 6:6. It reads, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering." The knowledge of God, which fills the mind with reverence of His majesty, fear of His goodness, the love of His holiness, trust in His promise, and the submission of His will. If we desire to be near to God, consider our sacrifices. It starts with less of self and more for Him. And knowing we are not sinless and in need to be washed, that's when your belief can become more of your biology. You will be feeding your spirit and less of the bodily lust. You should want to give more and more to God each day until you are all God. Heart, mind, soul, thought, money, and energy. So, who is more merciful? Who's more forgiving than Christ? If you have been washed and find yourself in need of prayers, and you have again been washed, baptized, we have the opportunity for you to come forth and offer that sacrifice. If you have not been baptized, again, the mercy, the blood that has been paid once and for all is available to you. You can be washed and forgiven of sin. If you will come now as we stand and sing the invitation song.